Let's open in a word of prayer first. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for his great sacrifice on the cross that has provided salvation for us all. We thank you, Father, for thy Son. Father, we also thank you for the written word that thou hast given to us. We thank you for enabling us to study thy word and to go on further in the gospel, preaching thy word. So, Father, we ask you to bless this gospel message now to us all and to thee. May it be a blessing to thee. May you lead us all on by thy Holy Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, once again, I don't get into the age of responsibility. We have our children going into the Sunday school. We know, as it says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he shall not depart from it. So we have our children in the Sunday school learning of God's word at a more easier level, I should say. We like to follow along. I'm going to start with a few verses in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." We look at chapter 2, same book, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, we're going to read. Let's read verse 5 and 6. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Between God and men, sorry, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." We see that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, and we see that he is the one mediator between God and man. Man Christ Jesus. Now, if we go to chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." God was manifest in the flesh. This is Christ Jesus was manifest in the flesh. On these same thoughts, we're going to turn to 1 John, the Epistle of John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Referring to Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus being manifested to take away our sins. "And in him is no sin." That's why he was able to take away our sins, to pay for our sins, because in him there was no sin. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. That means Christ Jesus came to save all of us here and all of us throughout the world, because we're all sinners. We're all born into sin. There is nothing we can do about being born into sin. That's how we are. We're born into sin. Now, just to get an idea of being born into sin, let's look where it began. In Genesis chapter 2, let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and see where this sin began in mankind. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read verse 15 through 17. "In And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." We see God's first commandment to man here, telling him what he can't do. But we look in verse 17. "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou shalt eatest of it, in that day that thou shalt eatest of it, thou shalt surely die." So we see God's commandment to man, telling him what he can't do. And we also see the ability of having free will. Man has free will because he's saying, "In that day that thou shalt eat of it, you shall surely die." Giving him free will. Just like we all have free will now. Now, if we turn to Genesis chapter 3, as we move along, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Right there, he broke God's commandment. Right here, sin entered into the human race when Adam, the first man, ate of this fruit. It says he did eat. Even though he tries to blame it on the woman, and even God, we look on verse 12. "And the man said," he's talking to the Lord, this is. "And the man said, 'The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.'" You see, he even tries to blame the woman and God. "It was the woman that you gave me. She gave me of the tree, of the fruit of the tree, and I did eat." So he admits it here. We see he broke God's commandment, verse 6, and we see he admits it in verse 12. Even though he tries to pass off the blame to the woman and even God himself. Now this will take us to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Since we are all part of Adam's sinful bloodline, we are all sinners. We're born in sin. Ephesians chapter 2 will tell us that we're dead in trespasses and sins. Not physically dead. We're born physically alive, but we're born spiritually dead to God because of this sinful bloodline that we're all inherited from Adam. We are all sinners, spiritually separated from God. Very serious condition I got to bring out, because if we die in this condition, we are going to be eternally separated from God. We see our natural condition is children of wrath. In Ephesians 2 will also tell us we're children of wrath by nature. Now, we are spiritually separated from God in our natural condition. We are spiritually separated from God. No matter how good we are, no matter what we try to do, no matter how nice we are to people, this does not matter. We are still separated from God because of sin, that original sin that has spread to all of mankind. Now, I got to emphasize the danger of this, because if we die in this spiritual death, we will have eternally separation from God. We'll be eternally separated from God. Spiritual death for all eternity. Now, just to show the end cause of this, let's look in Revelation chapter 20. Remember, if you die, you die spiritually separated from God. This is what we're gonna see. This is what we would see, what we would experience. We're going to read Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, just to get an idea of what this consequences of spiritual death looks like. Revelation 20, chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, this is a future event that will take place. And even though it's describing the devil himself and the beast and the false prophet, we get an idea of what this spiritual death will end up in. It says, it shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. In the lake of fire of brimstone, this is where this will take place. Spiritual death, separated from God for all eternity because of our spiritual death. Now, even though this describes the beast and the Satan and the false prophet, if we move on in the same chapter and look at verse 14 and 15, we look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we see, not only do we see the devil, the false prophet, and the beast in the lake of fire that's being tormented for all eternity, we see whosoever was not found written in the book of life, referring to the Lamb's book of life, this is, was also cast into the lake of fire. Separation from God. One verse in Isaiah 59:2 shows that sin separates. We emphasize this with looking at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Not that he can't hear, it's just that he will not hear. Just to emphasize the fact that sin separates mankind from God. My example up here is always, we got man on this side, we have God on this side. And this podium is like a wall that separates man from God. The podium, the wall, meaning sin, separates mankind from God. But God does not want anyone to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish. That's why Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Remember, he is the one mediator between God and man. That means one means the only one, the only mediator. If there was other ways to God, the scripture would say Christ Jesus is a mediator. But it says Christ Jesus is one mediator between God and man. So God does not want anybody to perish in the lake of fire for all eternity. That's why he sent his only beloved Son to die on the cross for our sins, to bear our sins on the cross. Even though back in the day they didn't realize that when they were issuing Christ a death sentence, they didn't realize that they were fulfilling prophecy at the time, but they rejected him. They hated him without a cause. They tried finding reasons to give him a death sentence. He says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected and despised by men. Now, just to get a little understanding of the cross, let's go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Okay, we're going to read a little bit to understand the death sentence, and we're going to understand about the cross a little bit here in Mark chapter 14. So let's read 57 through 61. Mark 14, verse 57, we're going to begin. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, against Christ Jesus, this is, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither did so their witnesses agree together. Now, he was not referring to the temple of worship, which would have been a capital offense. He was referring to his body. Matter of fact, there's the gospel right there. The three basic points of the gospel is right there. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was referring to his body right there. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. So as they're looking for reasons to condemn Christ, we're going to continue on with verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? I mean, you got nothing to say about these accusations, which was uncommon back in the day of their truth. That's the judicial system. Usually they spoke up on their behalf, trying to defend themselves. But Christ didn't say anything at this point to all these accusations that were brought against him. He didn't say anything. Verse 61. But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Which meaning, are you the Son of God? Which would make him the Messiah. Are you claiming to be the Messiah? And Jesus responds in verse 62. Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. This is also a future event. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we any further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death because he claimed to be the Son of God. Just saying the truth. He was just telling them the truth, and he also told them the truth in other parts of Scripture. He tells them the truth that he was the Son of God, performed miracles, proving that he was. But they were looking for a reason to condemn him for death. The first one is blasphemy, showing that he's guilty of death. Now, besides the capital punishment that would be suitable for destroying a temple of worship in those days, they're accusing him of blasphemy, which is a guilty of death. Now, if we look in Mark chapter 15, Mark chapter 15, at the beginning in verse 6, we have the Passover feast, where it was a tradition that they would release one criminal at the Passover feast. Now, they had a man named Barabbas. He was a criminal. He was guilty of murder. So, verse 9, Pilate answered them, saying, will you that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Which was also another truth that Christ said. He was the king. He came to this earth for that reason, to be a king. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Barabbas, Barabbas, unto them, however you pronounce it. They released a murderer. And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil have ye done? Pilate knew in his heart that Jesus was not guilty of a crime to be sentenced to death. And they cried out the more exceeding, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. So just to backtrace, we see that they tried accusing him of a crime of capital that would endure capital punishment, destroying a temple of worship, blasphemy because he claimed to be the Son of God, which meant he was the Messiah. The chief priest delivered him for envy. Now finally here in Mark's Gospel, we have Pilate willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Okay, now we're going to look at moving right along in the same chapter. In verse 25, so he's already being sentenced to death here. Verse 25, through crucifixion. Verse 25, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his head, of accusation, was written over the head, the King of the Jews. Meaning, this is Christ, the King of the Jews. So Christ is being crucified. They had no idea that they were fulfilling prophecy by crucifying Christ. Where Christ would come to save sinners, it was all to take place on this cross, the crucifixion. Now, it was not any affliction that man was doing to Christ that would pay for our sins. This all happened. Let's look at verse 33 and 34. As Christ is being crucified. Verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over all the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? During this time of total darkness on the earth is when God the Father laid the iniquity of us all on his Son, Christ Jesus, who is God manifested in the flesh. Now, during these three dark hours is when God the Father even turned his back on his Son, when he was bearing our sins in his own body on that tree, the cross of Calvary. This is what happened. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Now, if we look in the same, chapter, we're gonna look at verse 37 and 39 through 39. And when Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and then the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to bottom. This veil was the veil that was the separation in the temple from the most high place to the from the rest of the tabernacle, the most holy place that the priest only went in once a year, made sacrifices for, showing that the way to the most holy place now was open to all who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 39, when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and he gave up the ghost. The centurion said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." So he just saw Christ dying for our sins, and he cried out again. Now, if we read in John's Gospel, when he cried out again, Christ said, "It is finished." After he bore our sins, took our total punishment on the cross, he cried out again. He gave up the ghost and cried out again, "It is finished." Our punishment was satisfied by God the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That means Christ bore all of our hell. You can say Christ took my hell on that cross, at Calvary. All the punishment that we deserve, Christ endured all of our punishment. Not only for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He took a whole world's punishment in 3 long dark hours on that cross, where he bore the sins of the world. Christ died for our sins on that cross, took our punishment. So you can say our sins were nailed to that cross at Calvary. Christ paid it all. Now, Christ paid it all. We're going to go back to the gospel of, remember, the gospel's 3 simple facts. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the 3rd day according to the scriptures. The resurrection being just as important as the death of Christ for our sins. It says if we don't believe the resurrection of Christ, our faith is vain. Our preaching and our faith is vain, and we are still in our sins if we believe not the resurrection of Christ. So it is equally important to believe the resurrection as it is to believe that Christ died for our sins. Romans chapter 5 again. Romans chapter 5. Verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners," still sinners, "Christ died for us." God commendeth his love toward us, which means God demonstrated his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. "For he," God the Father, "hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In him, Christ Jesus. The one mediator between man and God is Christ Jesus. So that means we all need to come to Christ for salvation, to be saved from this sin, this consequences of sin, which results in eternal separation in the lake of fire. So we all need to come to Christ for salvation. Now, we all have to make a choice to come to Christ for salvation. If you don't make any choice at all, if you walk out of here and didn't do anything about it, you still have made a choice. That means you rejected Christ once again. You rejected the salvation that is so freely offered to you. So I must once again advise you all to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior for salvation. To be saved. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." invitation is being offered to everybody. Everybody, come to Christ for salvation and you shall be saved. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That is clear to me. Shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the consequences of the sins that we have done, that we've been born into. Saved from the consequence of sins, which we read in Revelation chapter 20. All ends up in the lake of fire. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So not only will you be cast into the lake of fire if you die in your sins, but the hell that you were in gets thrown into the lake of fire as well. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So if you're not saved right now, you're not even sure about salvation right now, why don't you make it a point right now to come to Christ for salvation? Come to Him as a sinner. As a sinner, and Him being the Savior, the only one that was able to save us from our sins, because He is the only one without sin. And He willingly came to the cross to die for our sins. So right where you are, you can pray to God right now. Right where you are, you can come to Christ as a sinner and pray for that salvation that He freely offers to you today. You can say it right in, you say it silently, right in your heart. You say it to God. Dear Christ, I know I am a sinner and I pray for your salvation. Save me, Lord Jesus. I do accept you as my Lord, which means Master. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior. Come to Christ today for salvation. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Jesus is speaking again here. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Come to Christ for salvation. He will not turn you down. You will be saved no matter what you have done in your past, no matter how you thought you stood in the past. You want to be sure today. Come to Christ for salvation today. You will not be turned down. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever, that means anybody that comes to Christ for salvation, shall be saved. As we come to a close here, look back in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we're going to read verse 17 through 21. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteous of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Along the same lines, go to the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So as we close, just like to emphasize the point that we all need to be saved. Come to Christ today for salvation. He's the only way to God. The only way to God is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Christ today for salvation. It's a free gift. Just like that Bible there, it's a free gift for anybody who wants it. You take it if you want it. If you don't take it, it's not yours. The free gift of salvation is free to anybody who takes it. If you don't take that free gift of salvation, you don't have it. So let's close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again we thank Thee for Thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You that He was willing to go to that cross and bear our sins in His own body. Father, we thank You that through Him we might have eternal life. Father, if there's anybody here that is not saved, may You speak to their hearts and save their souls. Father, may You bless the gospel outreach tonight. May You bless this gospel outreach now. May You part us all with Thy blessing. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.